In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. We have a couple of weeks left of this blessed season of revival. If we look at the Gospel of today, which is beloved and dear to all of us and very familiar to us all, is the healing of the man who was born blind. And the Lord said at the end something very profound. He says, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." If you look at this gospel, it's filled with people judging one another. It starts off with the disciples judging the man, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Then we move into the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, they judge this blind man and say that you were completely born in sin and you're teaching us. And they even turn to the Lord Christ himself. And they say to the Lord, about the Lord, that this man is not from God because he teaches on the, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And so we see everybody's judging everybody. And then even Christ himself, at the end he says, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who see may be made blind, and those who are blind may see." So we see all of the parties judging one another. But there's only one party who actually has full right to judge, and that is Christ. That's why he says, "For judgment I have come into the world." Who do we have the right to judge? We have the right to judge ourselves only. This is it. We only have the right to judge myself, nobody else. Christ here, he likens the sinner to the blind, or the person who doesn't see that he's sinning. We also see in another part where Christ likens the sinner to a sick person. We see in Mark chapter 2, he says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." So he describes himself as being the healing physician, coming to those who are sick and in need of healing. And those who have no need of repentance are those who are well, and therefore do not need a physician. So he did not come for them, but he came for those who consider themselves as being sick. My beloved, today we see that we are all sick and we are blind in some capacity. Those who feel that they are sick are the only ones that go to the physician. Only those who are sick go to the physician, and at the physician they find healing. As for those who are well, although they are sick, they don't go to the physician, and they don't find what? They don't find healing, although they're sick, right? There are many in medicine, there are many silent killers, right? Could be cancer, could be high blood pressure. These show no, maybe apparent, signs, but then they can kill, right? So, if I consider myself as being a sick person, and I myself am sick, does the sick person have the right to judge another sick person? So if I'm sitting in the hospital because I got into, God forbid, a car accident, and I broke my leg, and I'm being treated for my leg, and I'm sitting there on the bed, needing care from the nurses and the physicians. Can I look at the guy next to me who has renal failure, who has kidney disease, and say, "Oh, look at this guy. He deserves this because of so-and-so." Can I do this as a sick person? No. We're both in the same hospital, needing the same care and treatment from the physicians and the nurses, right? So sick people can't judge sick people. Once we stop realizing, my beloved, that we are sick, we enter into dangerous waters. We enter into dangerous waters. So what are some of the dangers of judging our brethren, of judging? I'll mention just three of them really briefly. The first danger is that when we judge, we make ourselves blind. We become blinded. When we judge, we become blind. How? Because actually when I judge, I'm judging based on a distorted lens. I don't see clearly when I judge. Everyone ever had like an eyelash stuck in your eye and your eye starts watering and you need to get it out? Suppose that you have this eyelash in your eye and you're trying to blink and your eye is very watery. Somebody else comes and says, you know what, I got an eyelash in my eye. Can you help me get it out? You're like, I can't see well your eye, so I can get, you know, to get it out. We need to find somebody who doesn't have the eyelash in their eye to help us get it out, right? So here's the idea, is that when I look at my brother's sin, but I myself have my own sin, it's as if I have not an eyelash, but as the Christ said, a plank in my eye, trying to take out an eyelash in somebody else's eye. I can't see clearly to take out the other eyelash in somebody's eye. When we judge, we do so with our limited perception, which is our senses, right? Our senses. I judge based on what I see, what I hear, right? Maybe perhaps from other people. And even we can sometimes judge from a faulty experience, from an experience. But just because I have the senses and maybe perhaps an experience, it doesn't mean my judgments will be correct. There are many things that I am clueless about. For example, I don't know the hearts of the individual in front of me. I don't know the repentance of the person in front of me. I don't know the circumstances of the person in front of me. I don't know the intentions of the person in front of me. All of these things, there are many unknowns to us. So the moment that I judge a person based on maybe what I think and I feel or my experience, I'm actually trying to take an eyelash out of somebody's eye when I have a plank in my own eye. Because there's many things that I don't see. If you look at the, remember the last week when we spoke about the Samaritan woman, we saw when the disciples came back, they looked at the Lord talking to this woman and they were astonished. How is he talking to a woman by himself in the middle of the day, and she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew? How is this all happening? Because they're judging based on their perception. They don't know what Christ knows. They don't know what Christ knows, that this woman has the potential to be an evangelist. They saw her as a sinner and an outcast and somebody who's misguided, right? But Christ saw her as a potential evangelist, and she just needed a little bit of healing. So sometimes we judge with a distorted lens. Remember also the passage when the Jews wanted to test the Lord. So they found a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. So now the question, the sin was not in question. They caught her in the act, so she is a sinner and she deserves to be stoned based on the law of Moses. So there's no question of if, ands, or buts, or perhaps it's my misunderstanding. There's none of this. It's very clear. This lady sinned, and according to the law of Moses, should be stoned. So they brought her before the Lord Jesus and said, she was caught committing fornication or adultery. What should we do? The idea here is they want to catch him in something. If they say to him, if he says don't stone her, then he breaks the law of Moses, so this makes him a false prophet, right? But if he says stone her, then they show before all the people that he's merciless. He doesn't have any mercy. How can we follow a guy who doesn't have any mercy? So with all wisdom, the Lord bent down, wrote something in the ground, and some of the church fathers tell us he began to write the Ten Commandments. He got back up again. They asked him what they should do. He wrote that, went back down, and finished writing the Ten Commandments. And then he gets up and he tells them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. So he turned the tables just like that. He had them look at themselves and to look at those Ten Commandments and say that I didn't commit any of those. And I'm faithful in committing all of the commandments. So what happened? They all dropped the stone and they all left. And the woman was spared. But he didn't justify her sin. He says, you know, go and sin no more. He still said that she sinned. But he said, go and sin no more. But we see here that those people looked at her with a distorted eye, even when she was caught in the act. But Christ looked at her with his eyes, the full eyes, the eyes of both justice and the eyes of mercy as well. There's a famous story that we're all familiar with, I'm sure, about St. Moses the Strong or St. Moses the Black. After he converted and became a Christian and a father in the wilderness of Skeet, the monks came and they found a brother who had sinned. And they wanted the elder Moses to come and to judge the matter. So they called for him. initially says, oh, no, I'm not going to come. And they insisted. So he says, okay, I'll come. So he took a jug. Some people say it's water. Some people say it's sand. But he took sand. And he filled the bag of sand. And he put a hole in the bottom of it and started walking to the monastery to judge this fellow. And when he got there, his disciples saw him carrying this bag that was leaking sand behind him. And they said, Father, what is this? And he said to them something very nice. He says, my sins run out behind me, and I do not see them. And today I come to judge the error of another. He says, my sins are behind me, and I don't see them. They're all the way back there, and I don't see them. I'm coming now today to judge another person. And they immediately all received the lesson. And they said, okay, you know, we won't judge him. So he looked at himself. He saw, okay, I myself am a sinner under the same hardship and temptation of sin as my brethren. I didn't fall in what this person fell in today, but I might fall in it later. So the first thing is that when we judge, the first danger, when we judge with this distorted lens and we make ourselves blind. The second is when we judge, we actually take the place of God. We put ourselves in the place of God. We tell him, excuse me, this is my place to judge, not your place to judge. We remove ourselves from the presence of God. Sometimes they have this thing, this kind of saying in the medical field that the physicians are the worst patients because they know so much that they think of all of the scenarios, or maybe it's something very small and insignificant, but because they know so much. Sometimes they'll say physicians make the worst patients, or nurses, or anybody who's in the medical field are the worst patients. The problem is when I cease becoming a patient and try to become the physician. When I judge somebody, I'm telling myself that I'm no longer the patient, but I'm the physician who can judge and tell what's wrong with the patient. And when I say, when I make myself the physician, then I close my hand and my mind to the healing medicine that I desperately desire. Sometimes we have some people, and we all know them, and our culture is very good at this. يعني كل حد دكتور, right? Where you find something happens, the person gets sick, and then you have everybody say, يعني بيألف what this person might have, and they'll even make for themselves a remedy and drink this type of tea with this type of additive, مش عارف ايه. We make this kid this concoction, and we make ourselves the physician. All because of the doctors are nasabin and they're crooks and they don't know what they're talking about, and I'm my own physician. What happens here? If this is something fa'lan that is serious, then because I'm making myself the physician, I'm not given the opportunity to get the healing that I need because of my pride, perhaps, of saying that I know better than the physicians who have trained, you know, to be able to diagnose. There's a story in the Paradise of the Fathers and the Desert Fathers that says there was a father who was also summoned to judge between a matter with the monks. So this father came, and this time, unlike St. Moses, he came and he judged and said, this person's wrong, this person's right, and this is his penalty. He should leave or have this discipline. And he left, and the monks were happy, and then he went back to his cell in the wilderness. And as he approaches his cell to the wilderness, he finds an angel there at the door. And he looks, stops for a minute, and the angel comes and says to him, I have a message from God. He says, what is it? He says, God sent me to ask you, where would you like us to throw that brother's soul? Where would you like us to throw that brother's soul? God is asking. So immediately, of course, the monk, he was very embarrassed, and he realized his sin of judging the other monk, and he asked for forgiveness. And the angel responded and said to him, what? God has already forgiven you, but keep yourself and do not judge anyone before God judges them. Do not judge anyone before God judges them. How many times have we thought to ourselves, okay, we come to church, this person ought not to take communion because of so and so and so. This person did this to me. How are they going to take communion because of so and so and so? How do we know, you know, when they're coming, they didn't repent and God forgave them? And if God forgave them, then who am I to hold it against them? And when I do, what happens here? Then I put myself in the place of God. I put myself as the judge, as the physician, rather than as the sick person who's coming, a fellow sick person coming in need of healing. St. Macarius the Great said another nice thing. He says, if we keep remembering the wrongs which men have done us, we destroy the power of the remembrance of God. If we keep remembering the wrongs that people have done to us, we destroy the remembrance of God. I replace the remembrance of God with the remembrance of the faults of my brethren. When I judge, I remember the faults of my brethren, and I don't remember the remembrance of God. And St. Isaac the Syrian echoes the same thing and says, only the person who neglects the remembrance of God speaks evil of his brother. Only the person who forgets or neglects the remembrance of God will speak evil of another. The moment I speak evil of another person, I've forgotten the remembrance of God. I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten that I'm the sick person, that I have many sins that I need to work on, and many shortcomings. The third danger and the last is when we judge, we lose the grace of God and the protection of humility. We lose the grace of God. When we judge another, we lose the grace of God. As long as we consider ourselves a sick person or a patient, then the physician will heal us. In the medical field as well, in the graduation ceremony, they have what's called a Hippocratic Oath, which is basically an oath saying that I will do what is best for the patient to get them healing, even if it means that I refer them to somebody else, whatever is best for the patient. And understand I'm treating a human being with all compassion and so on. It's very nice. If you read it, it's online. So they take this oath. So if we can say, okay, if I'm coming to the Lord as a patient, then he has, we can say, a moral obligation, but he does this out of love because this is ultimately why he came. He has a moral obligation to treat us, to heal us. If we make ourselves the physician, we do not receive the remedies from the true physician. And we have to be very careful, is that when we judge, we lose the grace of God. And it's the grace of God who protects us from the temptations that surround us. St. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, says something that we need to take note of. He says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. So he tells us two very important things here. He tells us, number one, when we judge, be careful because you might fall in the same exact sin. You might fall in the same exact sin when you judge a person. Why? Because when I judge, the grace of God is removed from me. And that of which I judged another, I might even fall in. Some of us perhaps have experienced this, where we look at somebody and we say, this person did so and so and so. And then we find ourselves a little later doing the same thing and say, how could I have done this thing that this other person did? Or how could I have done this bad sin? Because once I judge, the grace of God was removed. And when the grace of God is removed, we're left vulnerable. And oftentimes, God allows us to fall in the same sin, so we realize that I have judged a brother of the same sin. The second thing is that he says that whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. Listen to what St. Macarius says. He says, if you reprove someone, reprove, or we can say in the context here, judge them. If you judge someone, you yourself get carried away by anger and you are satisfied by your own passion. Do not lose yourself, therefore, in order to save another. So he's saying here, when we judge another person, we satisfy our own passion. The passion of what? The passion of being right. The passion of being better, good, right? We satisfy this passion within us. And then he says that you get carried away in anger. So you'll find, actually, when I judge other people, you'll be prone to be angry, more angry. And therefore, satisfy your passion, and do not lose yourself, therefore, in order to save another. Don't lose yourself to save another. Don't judge another and then lose yourself. But rather, justify another. Make excuses for the other so that we might save ourselves from judgment. Just as the Lord said, judge not, so you will not be judged. Right? There's only one true judge and one true physician. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We only have the authority to judge ourselves because we're sick patients, as are my brethren, those who are around. And when we judge, if we judge, we make ourselves blind. First danger. The second is we take the place of God when we judge. And the third danger is when we judge, we lose the grace of God and the protection of humility. I'll close with two sayings, both from St. Isaac the Syrian. He says, the fast of one, the fast yani siyam, the fast of one who abstains from food and drink, but continues to eat the flesh of others by slander, this fast is in vain. So we're all fasting now. But if during my fast I'm eating the flesh of another by judging them, he says, your fast is in vain. I'm fasting in vain. And then he says in another quote, he says, one who corrects the weak points he sees in others has found a spiritual mirror within himself. We'll often find we judge in others what we ourselves are very sensitive to. We'll judge others in things that we ourselves despise. Or we'll judge ourselves in others what we ourselves are weak in. So he says here, be careful. When we pull out the wrongs in others, you're revealing the spiritual mirror in yourself. So if you find yourself judging another person and looking at a particular sin over and over again, turn the mirror to yourself and say, what is hidden in me? Why is this a particular sin that I see in every person around me? I look at every person around me and I say that this person's greedy, this person's greedy, this person's greedy. Perhaps I am greedy, and that's why I see everybody else as being greedy. Turn the mirror on ourselves. I pray that God, by His grace, if we can learn not to judge, we can use this verse where He says, judge, lest you not be judged. We can use this on the last day and say, Lord, I ended my life, and yes, I was weak in many things in my spiritual life, in my reading scripture, in my prayer, but one thing I didn't judge anyone. And therefore be worthy of the kingdom of heaven. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.